is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today, well, actually, I want to start that over. All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs. Oh, yes. Let's go, boys.
And Dom DeRosa is here with us. Sean Johnson, unfortunately, cannot be with us this week. He is in AC covering the MAC tournament. So he is out this week. But he's having a great old time doing what he loves, broadcasting for our Rider Bronx basketball teams. Even though the women lost, it's a shame. But hopefully they'll be back next year. You know, Lynn and the crew, we'll make improvements, adjustments, and we'll look to have a better season in 2023. But we have bigger news going on in the world of professional sports. We'll start off with maybe the biggest news that came out today is that Russell Wilson has been traded. It was rumored for a while that he was going to be traded, even though Russell would come on the record numerous times during the season saying that I didn't want to be traded. I want to stay in Seattle. Many people thought it was a PR stunt, which I kind of believe too. I feel like his time was up there. He was there for 8+ years, two World Super Bowl appearances, won a ring. It just wasn't there, even though their offense was kind of, you know, they had good weapons. They weren't clicking. So they ship him off to Denver and, you know, Seattle gets a haul back from him. And now, you know, Denver is in a prime spot to, you know, make a run, you know, next season in the playoffs. And I don't know, maybe you could say the Super Bowl, depending on how it all plays out, because now he has a decent line, passing, decent run game. I mean, they can make some noise. You know, now I'll start with you. When you first saw this trade, what were your initial thoughts? And do you like the move, not for Russell Wilson, but do you like it for the Broncos organization?
Yeah, I saw a lot of Twitter reaction, and I think I mostly disagreed with the overall arching opinion. Though I will say I want to tell kind of what was funny. When I saw your text today, I saw Rodgers, Russell Wilson trade, and whatever else it was.
Calvin Ridley.
Yes, the Calvin Ridley. But the point was, I was like, oh, Russell Wilson trade must be like ramping up, you know, like trade talk. And then I looked at Twitter and he was to the Broncos. I'm like, what? Like, Anthony have like a scoop that he knew about? Because I had no idea until I saw you. But you know when you hear something and you're like, oh, like it was spoiled for me, but it still wasn't because you didn't believe it or you didn't know. Like, that's what happened for me.
So oh, yeah. I had that same thing happen to me like when the Knicks played the Suns. I think Friday or Saturday, and they were like, and I went to bed because the game was on. It was a West Coast game, and they were like, I can't believe Cam did it, or like yeah. I can't believe Cam, and I'm like, oh, Cam Reddish won the game for them, yeah. and then I watched the replay. I'm like, oh no, that was Cam Johnson. Yeah. So I was like, oy. But yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah, no. So just quickly, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying the Broncos dominated the trade and this and that. I mean, they gave up a lot.
A lot of picks.
Right? Two first rounders, two second rounders, Noah Fant, Drew Lock, which didn't mean much. And they gave up one more player, right? Am I missing one person?
No, that was it. Just a lot of picks. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So to me, if I'm the Seahawks, I think the Seahawks win the trade. And I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't working in Seattle. I don't know if it's because of Pete Carroll. I think that has something to do with it. I think they need a new voice in the locker room. I'll use Paul Maurice's words, who was the coach of the Winnipeg Jets. He like resigned in the middle of the season, considered one of the best coaches in the NHL. He resigned because he thought they needed a new voice in the locker room. And I think maybe that's what the Seahawks need, because really they haven't had a good defense in, what, 5 years, four, maybe a little less, but like they haven't had a great defense. Their offense, I think, has been wildly overrated. And I don't think it's necessarily Russell Wilson's fault. I just don't think they can put the running and the passing attack together. So I think they needed a change. And I think if this is their rebuild, I think they're starting off at a good point getting these picks, and hopefully they can do something with it. So I don't think it's like Denver destroyed them in the trade. I think Denver realized that strike while the iron's hot. Their defense is rounding into shape. They have some good offensive weapons. This team's going to be tough, but this narrative that they dominated the trade, I don't agree with. I think the Seahawks could really come out of this well. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think, and you're right. I think the Seahawks offense is a little bit overrated because of the fact that it was Russell Wilson and Chris Carson and Rashad Penny and Metcalf and Lockett that's what everyone looked at and like, oh my God, like how can they not lose?
Exactly.
Right. Like they should, like, you know, they should win. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. How they cannot win, right? Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, they're supposed to, you know, with that lethal kind of offense, right? But they were losing games, and it was either Metcalf was having a good game or Lockett was having a good game. It was never both of them were having a great game, and Carson can never stay healthy, and Rashad Penny would have to pick up the slack, and just their whole line was just not there for him. So he was just getting sat in. You know, the defense obviously just wasn't what it was when he first came into the league, and I feel like that's what. I feel like people kind of forget about, and that's what probably made not only that team great, but him great, because of the defense helped him a lot in more ways than one. So that's my take. I mean, Dom, what was your take on it? You know, for the Broncos, for Wilson's career, for the Seahawks. I mean, you know, obviously the Seahawks look like they're going to be in a rebuild mode. So you would say, depending on how they use these picks, but it's one of the bigger trades we've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah, it is. I thought I was a loner. I thought the Seahawks were the winners of this trade. So I'm glad someone has agreed with me. I think Denver gave up too much. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Pete Carroll, if he stays, he's going to turn Drew Lock into an absolute stud. And it's funny, before the details came out, I was like, oh, well, Russell Wilson, he'll have Noah Font, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Font's included in that trade. So Denver's going to have to do a lot in the draft. They need a tight end. Cortland Sutton has not lived up ever since he got that extension. He's had a rough couple of weeks when he got that extension late into this past season. Jerry Judy's good, but I still think Denver's got some work to do. I think Melvin Gordon's past his day. Yes. So what are we going to do at running back? Seattle, listen, if you put that kid out there, he's got himself some weapons with Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and now Noah Font. So, yes, they need a defense. But I think Seattle's won this trade. I think Russell Wilson, yes, they needed a quarterback, Denver, but they still need some work when it comes to receiving, running game. They don't have that dominance like they did 5-6 years ago.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it's not of the days when it was Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Eric Decker. Like, that was a crazy, crazy offense that was on that squad.
One last thing quickly. I forgot the one name. It was Shelby Harris was the who Denver also gave up. And they just said that he was a really good locker room guy for the Broncos. So that was the only one I wanted to.
So, now it kind of retracts myself, like if they're Super Bowl contenders. I feel like that's what everyone's like first glance at it, right? It's kind of like the big name. Russell Wilson goes to the Broncos. Like, oh my God, like, are they going to run away with the division? Will they make it? It's like, and based on what you guys said, it's like kind of you got to like, hold on, pump the brakes a little bit. Let's look at it more analytically and at a deeper level that they did give up Noah Font, who is one of the great tight ends in the game. And it fills a void for the Seahawks because their tight end was Greg Olsen at one point a couple of years ago. And I think this past year was not – who was it this past year?
It was the big
– oh, it was –
Disley or not
88.
I know his name.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Greg Olsen.
This is not good that we can't think of the name.
Yeah, no.
Kind of proves our point.
Yeah, exactly. It proves our point. But like you said, I think Drew Lock has a chance to kind of resurrect his career and kind of make a name for himself in Seattle because he was just kind of just getting, I wouldn't say ripped on in Denver, but like people were like, oh, he's not legit. And then he had one good game, like, all right, maybe he could do something. Then he kind of regressed. So hopefully the coaching's there. Obviously, he has a lot better weapons. to Dom's point, than Denver, which I do agree with. I feel like the weapons in Seattle are much more favorable than Denver's are. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, the offseason is just getting started, you know, in the NFL, and it's already heating up as we transition to the next topic in regards to Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Now, this man has been in the offseason news for the last 2 years and has just been twiddling everybody by his fingertips in regards to his decisions of what is he or what isn't he going to do. Last year it was, you know, will he be on the field because of contract issues and, you know, restructuring his deal. Obviously, you know, he was upset with ownership in Green Bay. Obviously, they worked that out. He came back, had a great season, won his second MVP back-to-back. Obviously, they didn't do what they wanted to do in the playoffs, but, you know, he is now back for another season, year 18. The report was that he was going to come back on a four-year deal, $200 million contract. It was going to make him one of the highest-paid players or the highest-paid player in NFL history. He did, however, squash those rumors on Twitter saying, whatever you're reading about contract information is false. I am, however, am returning for year 18, that he's excited to be back in Green Bay. But, I mean, guys, the Aaron Rodgers saga is kind of basically done with. He's coming back. We don't know how much money, but who cares at this point? Knowing that he's back is all fans really care about, both from Green Bay and football fans. And with that, that means Devonta Adams is likely going to come back as well, because they're honestly, they were a package deal. Yeah. If Rodgers was leaving, Adams was leaving. If Rodgers stays, they're likely going to keep Adams as well. So, I mean, when Rodgers is in the game, it's a good sign. I feel like he's kind of one of the last kind of guys that we have from like the Brady Manning kind of era, even though he kind of came in late. He's kind of one of the last few people we have for that part of the game. So I'm happy he's back. I hope he gets another ring. No, I know they were your big pick to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, it did not happen. Based on what you saw, do you think that it's still going to be your pick? Is it going to change? Or are you just kind of be like, eh, it's good that he's back, and if he wins, he wins. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
Well, it really is important to see what the actual deal is. I mean, if it's – and I don't think it's the four-year, whatever,
200 million.
Million thing or whatever. The Rangers just scored, baby. Let's go!
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. God. So – but here's the thing, okay? I'm going to be hard on Aaron Rodgers right here, okay? Russell Wilson just left the NFC. Tom Brady, not in the NFC anymore. Matt Stafford. Who else does he have to face, Anthony? Dom? Can we name names? Like, can
NFC, in the NFC, Dak NFC. Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott. It's kind of stink. I mean, like, if he can't beat these teams, choke artist in Dallas, Matt Stafford,
Jimmy G,
who is, I mean, not great, you know, not great. So, like, there's no more excuses. Like, this is his time. And we could see more moves being made, I guess. But I'm just saying, the AFC is stacked. Like, you have the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Browns, who are a real deal. But with Baker, who knows? You know, there's so many teams in the AFC. And I know I'm missing some. The Bills. Where the Packers, it seems like this is the time to really start to round out and make a run. If you can't do it now, I don't know when you're going to be able to do it, but it really does depend. Is it a four-year deal? Is it 2 years? You know, what is it? And they franchise tagged Devontae Adams. I saw that today. So,
yep.
Like, that's really big for them. But they still need to have some weapons for him, because clearly, even in the playoffs, like, it didn't seem like it really worked what was going on with the offense, at least against the 49ers. So I think it just – they need to make some changes. But I will say – that A.J. Dillon-Aaron Jones combo, if they can make that work.
It's nasty.
Nasty. Like, the hard power running of A.J. Dillon running through, like, walls. And then you have Aaron Jones, who can just – he can fly, but he also has some skill. Like, those two together, I just think if you can utilize them, getting Aaron Jones out of the backfield too, and then also having weapons like a Devontae Adams, they got to have Lazard in there and – so I just think some things need to happen, but Aaron Rodgers needs to do some good things. I think for Mac. See, like, I mean, this is so annoying. I hate when you open up tabs and they already have a video playing. It's so
Oh, yeah. That's stupid. Yeah, it's like you don't even.
And by the way, we started, I opened that tab and I muted it. And then suddenly the ad just, oh, I'm not even playing anything.
It really wants you to listen.
Yeah, like, what? Stop, ESPN, stop. Sorry, guys. I'm I haven't been on a rant in a while, so
you haven't. We love our Noah rants. but Dom, I mean what are your thoughts on the bad man that is coming back to Green Bay? You know, do you think, and I'll ask you this, if it's not 4 years, how many years? Because basically however many years this contract is the beginning of the end for his career.
Yeah.
Right. This is just another 4 years of losing to the San Francisco Niners in the conference championship round. Listen, I guess a good move and all. Packers are going to keep the both of them. And, you know, $163 million guaranteed is a lot. $200 million let alone is a lot. Rodgers has a lot to prove here. He's got to win again. He's only won once. Does he deserve it? I'm going to be honest. I personally don't think so. No one. That's a lot of money. Come on.
And Yeah.
Listen, great quarterback, but he won once. Packers have some work to do. I don't think they're going to really do anything, but hey, if he proves me wrong, good for him. I will root for him. I will. I just think that what are they going to do with the guy they drafted? Uh-huh. What's his name?
Love.
Yeah. Jordan Love. The guy kind of had a chance to kind of showcase what he can do, and he sucked.
Yeah,
he was bad.
Which you can see why. You know, I mean, that's his first game, but yeah, he wasn't good. I mean, and the defense. I remember that game. I think it was the Chiefs, and the defense kept. It was when the Chiefs were still not.
Yeah, they still weren't on their A game.
Yeah,
and they were in their funk.
Yeah, so I don't totally disagree with Dom. I would just say. Because I don't think it's not even that he doesn't deserve that money. If I'm him and like I hear all this criticism about like winning and not winning, Tom Brady took pay cuts, right? Like,
he took pay. Yeah, that was the one positive he did. And that's something that not many quarterbacks followed in his suit. It's like, okay, well, if you want to have great players around you,
yeah,
you can't be hogging up all the cap.
Yeah,
that's the problem. You can't.
And that's not to say you can't make your bag, you know, make your bag, as they say. Like, that's not to say you can't do that. It's just if you want to win and if you want to, you know, do what the Patriots did, they were such a good formula because they had that quarterback who – and Tom Brady's really smart. Let's be real. For him to go, I'm going to take a pay cut, and I know that if my team is the way they are and Bill Belichick puts them in the right form, we're going to win, and that's going to – enhance my legacy, and it's not going to matter how much money I'm making right now, because in the future I'm going to be set. I mean, and Giselle, do you know, she makes
more than him.
She makes more than like 50 players combined in the league. She made like $300 million. That lady is rich. Oh my God.
Like, I think that's the, they have to understand too, like, and I think this goes for all sports too, that like, I understand that, like, okay, like, you for certain players, right? For certain players, yeah. It's like you need to get the bag because you don't know when it'll be over, and you don't maybe have that cachet to get endorsement deals. Rodgers is at that level where he can get endorsement deals. So it's like, why do you need more of that base salary? Yes. You really don't. You could take less or get paid 20 mil, 15 mil. That's still a lot of money. And then, you know, you have your endorsement deals with, I don't know. I mean, he's got he's got State Farm. He's got a couple other stuff. I'm sure if he does some guest appearances on like Jeopardy or whatnot, they'll pay, you know, and he's got to look at the future and kind of branding himself more and, you know, investing in stuff like that, which he should probably do. But it's just the fact that I don't know why they get so enamored of like my base. I need to be the highest paid player. I need that. Like, to your point, it doesn't matter how much you make. Like, no one's going to remember that Tom Brady was like, the highest paid player was like, or in his case, one of the lowest paid players. Like, no, what do they remember that he was the greatest of all time?
Well, and Anthony too, like, you're exactly right. If you think about it, Aaron Rodgers, it makes sense early in your career, your first 5, 10, like, especially if you're not sure about yourself or you're not like the star. Aaron Rodgers is a star. He is going to make money. And when he retires, you don't think a network, if he wants to, is going to say, we want you to broadcast or we want you to do whatever. He's going to be able to do it. So it's not like he's not going to have
opportunity. Yeah. ESPN, so, NBC, they're going to be knocking on the door like they did with Drew Brees. The moment they found out that he was going to retire, they're like, you want to come here?
Come here. Exactly. So I agree.
So yeah, it's that's just my opinion on it. I just, you know, whatever money, hopefully it's not a lot so that they can, you know, to your point, Noah, that they can build a good team around him and that he has a chance to kind of win in his final days as an NFL player. So he can kind of cement his legacy further, because that's kind of what he's missing. He needs another ring to kind of cement it as one of the greatest to ever do it. Because people say that he's the most gifted quarterback talent-wise, like talent and skill, but he doesn't have all the accolades to back it up, which is he needs that one more ring, unfortunately.
I agree. I agree 100%. He is, if he has one more ring, I think it's immense, because I got to be honest, I think he's a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I do. Like, as far as like throwing and he's not, but he doesn't have the clutch gene. He's not clutch.
Yeah. So we got to, whatever, how many years it is, 2, 3, 4, 1. We don't know. It could be a 1-year deal. We'll see. But kind of wrap up the show. We'll mention this. Calvin Ridley during the season decided to take a break for the season and just not play anymore. And he cited it was for mental health reasons and issues, which is fair. It's become more of a disorder, not only in the sport, but in the world. And people are taking notice of it, of a real illness. And so he took time, and everyone was like, okay, we respect that decision. So he did. However, news broke today, or yesterday, I should say, that he has been suspended the entire season of 2022 as he gambled last season in NFL games. Calvin Ridley came out and said that he only bet $1,500 during the season. However, you really shouldn't do that as you are a professional athlete. But I will say this, you suspend Calvin Ridley for a whole season for betting on games. He's betting, okay? However, you don't even suspend Ray Rice or these other guys who do way worse things. You don't suspend them for an entire season. Like, I read something where Ray Rice got, what, 2 or 6 games?
2 games, yep.
For beating his girlfriend or now wife, and it was visible on video. Like, that was like the biggest news in the world at one point. Yeah. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah. I'll give my take quick, and then I'm going to go, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's sad, because Calvin Ridley, he admitted to it, and it's a lot less bad that he was betting on his own team to win. Like, let's at least give him that. But I've been seeing this take, like, a lot of people are crapping on the NFL because they make money on gambling and this and that, and I get that. Mm-hmm. But they have to keep some decorum. They have to keep that rule in place, because could you imagine if you do start to see this a lot more where players are betting? I mean, like, you really have some integrity issues if you say, like, we're just going to allow betting for the athletes. I think that's a scary thing to kind of allow. But again, like, I mean, is this a season worthy, like, suspension? No, but I do think they're trying to nip it in the bud. They're trying to show, we are not going to mess around as far as it comes to like gambling and on the sport as a player. Like, we're not going to allow that to happen. And I get that. Like, I understand. It's just, it's a really bad look optically when you see Ray Rice get suspended 2 games. And at first, you're right, Anthony, I don't think he wasn't, maybe he was given a game or like not at all, but
once the video surfaced, they're like, oh, we got to do something. I mean, like,
to do something, but like, it's just not a good look. So, that's all I got to say. Thanks, guys. I will talk to you and have a good rest of the show. All right.
Bye, Noah.
All right. Bye, Noah. Yep. So, Dom, I mean, Dom, you work for FanDuel. You know, you kind of deal with customers on a daily basis about all this stuff. but to see kind of an athlete kind of do this. And I understand, you know, to Noah's point, right, it's the integrity of the game, right? They don't want athletes to bet because then it's like, all right, well, then our game's being fixed. And then what's the point of competition at that point at the professional level?
Yeah.
If you're just fixing games. But where was I going with this? Where was I going with my question for you?
How do I feel about this whole thing?
Well, yeah, how do you feel about this whole thing? And, you know, do you think that he, you know, this is where I was going to go. I mean, obviously the NFL knew about kind of him doing it because of the fact that, you know, Dom, you know, when we sign up for this stuff as consumers that you deal with, you have to give your social security number, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of which is the code that unlocks everything for everything, right?
Yeah. And
I'm sure they have some system, the NFL or the teams, that tracks whatever they're doing. And then when they probably saw that, it kind of was like, okay, well, what's going on? And that's what probably triggered them to really dive into, okay, was he betting? And that kind of, and maybe, and you could maybe speak on this. This could probably, it could be a wake up call for other NFL teams to maybe look in this room, because maybe other players are doing it too, and maybe they don't know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts on it, and then kind of that take in terms of like the whole, like, are other players doing it? That if he got caught, are other, you know, or is there more to be suspended on for players?
Well, at least Calvin Ridley chose FanDuel. Anyway, yeah. I wonder if he ever contacted like customer service, like all you see is the name Calvin R. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, that's not Calvin Ridley. But
imagine.
Yeah. Listen, I think 1 year is, of course, too harsh, but you're right. The NFL is trying to prove a statement. It's a little backwards on how they, you know, suspend players for what kind of actions. But
yeah,
you know, when it comes to money, it is a serious thing. And despite being a small amount for him and $1,500, the NFL wants to crack down on that and definitely say, like, no, no, no. What a shame, too, because Calvin Ridley, really good player, really good receiver, took over and is the primary guy in front of Julio Jones that is no longer even there anymore. But yeah, it's weird. I think the NFL's doing it right. It's just going to suck not seeing him for a year. I'm sure it doesn't impact the Falcons anyway, unless he potentially gets traded. But yeah, this is just going to be cracked down on, saying, hey, you guys are athletes. There's going to be limitations to what you can and can't do, just like when you sign a contract, and like Mahomes for a big contract, or Tatis in Major League Baseball. You can't do certain things like drive a jet ski or stuff like that because you got to avoid injuries. So it's kind of like that, except when it comes to wagering, it's some serious stuff, man.
Yeah, because it's all about, because to Noah's point, which I agree with, and I think a lot of people will, it's all about the integrity of the game. Because at that point, the integrity is lost, and then it's like, well, what's the point of me betting if for example, let's say Calvin Ridley was playing, he was betting, and he knew his over on receiving yards was 65, and he's like, oh, I bet my under, so I'm just not gonna run, right? So think of like there's that, and that could affect not only people who are betting, but also the game. Cause what if he has a big opening, just doesn't go for it. Right.
Yep.
I mean, there's that. So I do agree with it that the NFL is cracking up. I would have maybe gave him half the season, cause that is still a lot. Like, you're missing half the season for betting. Like, yeah, that shows like, okay, like you don't want to mess around. So I would do it in stages. I would do maybe 6 games. Like, I would do it like what they do for PEDs in baseball, where it's like 80 games for your first offense, a full season for your second, and then your third offense, you're banned indefinitely. I think they should do it like that, where it's like 6 games, your first offense, you do it again, it's a year. And if you do it again, you're banned for life. Like, I feel like that's fair. Cause it's like, you were given 3 chances, and all 3 chances you didn't listen.
Right.
Like, right. I think it should be like that, where it's like, okay, strike 1, don't do it again. And then strike 2. Okay. Well, now we're going to make you, it's going to be worse. And then strike 3, it's like, all right, your career's over. Good luck figuring whatever you got to figure out.
Yeah,
that's how it should be, in my opinion. But to your guys' point, the NFL wants to crack it down. They want to really make a point to not only the players, but the fans, that like, we are serious about this, and we want to make sure that we, you know, that we protect our game, because they are still the biggest entity of sports right now. Like, they're bigger than basketball, even though basketball's slowly coming. They're bigger than hockey. And they're bigger than baseball. Baseball is like a little pebble right now, based on what's been going on over the last couple of weeks. So, but that it was basically just a big kind of football kind of episode day.
With all the stuff. It was a big day for football. It was a good day for football. Baseball's been in the dud, right?
Mm-hmm.
My Clippers getting smacked by the Knicks didn't really help.
Oh yeah, that was it. Hey! But you did beat the Lakers, so that's right.
Hopefully, because if anyone's listening, we're recording this a couple days before. Hopefully, they get on the Warriors, but they're on a little bit of a losing streak. So
yeah, I mean it happens. I mean the Nets are too, and in fact, we just beat the.
You killed the Hornets.
Nah, we didn't really kill them. Well, we were killing them. We just beat them 132-121.
I checked, they were up 20.
Yeah. I mean, I knew we were going to blow that lead, and which we kind of did, but we still won. But, nevertheless, we're all going to go through losing streaks and everything like that. But, basketball is just, staying afloat. It's still going. It's a lot of good things for that sport, a lot of bad things. And to Noah's point, which we talked about too, which is kind of a good kind of maybe series we can do at some point, like a 4-part series where we go through each league and look at the positive and what each league is doing, the negatives, and what can be done to improve each league, which I think is a good idea that Noah had. So that's something we definitely are going to probably take into consideration and definitely move forward with as kind of a little series that we do here on the show. But Dom, you got anything else to add before we close for this
evening? That is all, my friend.
All right. Well, that is all for me as well. And that is all for this edition of the Sports Fever. As always, we thank you for tuning in, listening, wherever you are, whether you're at work, typing away on the computer, you're driving to work, or you're driving for work, or you're just at home, sitting, laying down on the couch or on your bed.
Just like us.
Yeah, just like us as we record this on a weekday night. We thank you for the support. It means a lot. But that's going to do it for us. Be sure to check us out on our socials, the_sports_fever on Instagram, the_sports_fever1 on Twitter, and you can send us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Be sure to tune in next week, Thursday at noon, for a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.